Welcome back to it. My name's Mookie, or Mark if you prefer, from 88.5 The SoCal Sound. We got live music, not in our studio today. We're at the Zev Rehearsal Room on the campus of Cal State Northridge in the beautiful Performing Arts Center known as the Soraya. Live music from Palm Station and Tori Wolf. So let's get into the music and then we'll have a chit-chat. And this is listener-supported public media. We are 88.5 The SoCal Sound.
Alive.
All right, very cool. That was a live version of the song Alive. Palm Station and Tori Wolf in our studio here. Amazing. I'm so glad you're here today. Hillel, it's so nice to meet you for the first time.
Pleasure, pleasure. Thank you.
And Tori, we have a bit of a history together. We've known each other off and on for many, many years.
Many, many.
Real quick, who's in the band that you brought today? Obviously, you've surrounded yourself with amazing musicians.
Yeah, so I work as a cantor in a temple, and most of the people there are people who for years have been singing with me. So they're people who, like, every single week we sing, and it's kind of improvisational, so we're sort of used to just, you know, going with the flow.
The song we just heard was Alive. And we're getting all new music off of this new record, Stand Together, Fall Apart. Is that right?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, and if I could just ask a real broad question, painting in broad strokes here, what is that particular song
broad,
about?
That's not nice.
No,
cancel
trying
movie.
To keep it PC.
Okay.
What's that song about?
Well, that song was written about my daughter who was going through a rough spell, and at night she used to just lie down and put her head on my wife's nape and just sort of get calmed down. And she really became sort of the redemptive force in her life and got her out of that, you know, period of her life. So I think everybody sort of needs a redeemer, you know, a personal one. Some people go for something ethereal or divine, but most people just have to find another person who can, you know, give them the will to dig themselves out of a hole and to be optimistic and have hope. And that was what that was about. Mm-hmm. It was me seeing the world through her eyes, trying to write it. The project started with me thinking I was going to write for my daughter, who's a great singer. And so I was sort of trying to write it through her eyes, but she sort of went off into a different musical direction, which was why I happily found Tori. And it was just a perfect, I was searching around for the right voice for this song for a while, and it didn't happen till we got together.
Right. Music could be so personal, and we appreciate you both sharing your music with us. Speaking of Tori, I did want to ask, I thought at first sort of an unlikely collaboration here, you know, but how did you find each other, and when did you realize that you truly had something really cool going on as musical collaborators?
Shall I take it away?
Take it away.
Well, a dear friend and collaborator, I should say, Michael Plenn. I remember I played a show at Red Rocks. Actually, it was like so epic. I had just turned whatever year. I actually don't remember. But then I got a phone call from him while I was in Colorado, and I had such a strange moment because he was like, I just have this brilliant idea. You have to work with Hillel. Like, I just hear your voice on this track. These tracks are amazing. He sent me Alive, and he's like, when we get off this phone, I want you to listen to it. And it was really noisy where I was. And then all of a sudden, there was this, like, mentally ill or maybe someone on drugs in Denver.
That was me.
It was so terrifying. Came charging at me on the phone call. And so all I remember was just I was on the phone with Plenn being like, yeah, 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 I can't wait. And I didn't want to interrupt him, like, just speaking so highly of Hillel. This person was coming directly at me. There was all the stuff in his beard and everything, and I was just running. It was like, and to me, like, I have that visual in my head from the very first moment that I heard Alive, because then I find everything calmed down, and then I listened to Alive by the train over there.
That song specifically is anthemic, in my opinion. It's epic and big and amazing. And Tori is on at least 4 songs off this new Palm Station record, right?
Right. Well, it started, if I may, with Michael pushing to do that song. And, you know, I'm a curmudgeon, and it's very hard for me to hear somebody and usually kind of give them a, wow, that was pretty darn good. But I heard that and I really did get chills. I rarely do unless I'm in my shower, which is often broken and turns cold in the middle.
Oh, no.
So it was like that, only much better. But anyway, so the idea was to do a song, and Tori came by. And it was, I gotta say, like, as much as the music was good, we were laughing so hard, I think, the whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, every musician wants to be a comedian. I don't know about you, me. And she was like a very easy laugh, a total, like, sucker audience. Like, she laughed very easily at all of my corny jokes. And so it was a hell of a lot of fun. That was sort of like front and center in my mind, like, get another laugh. And we had so much fun at the end. Was like, this actually sounds pretty good too. But then Tori was like, yeah, we should do a whole EP. And I was thinking, you know, that's a great idea. It was just that combination of artistic clicking, you know, her voice, her attitude. They're very easy to work with, very fun, very professional, also kind of ground me hard. And I usually take breaks every 10 minutes.
Oh yeah, you're like, your break? I'm like, no.
Get a suntan. And yeah, it was intense, but in a great way. So we just went forward and did four that are on this record, and then we did two more. So that's in the back pocket.
Amazing. Tori is an amazing individual, extremely nice. But you know, if you don't know Tori, you know, I told you off the air, looking at your social media and stuff, you're kind of a menacing presence. you know, it's kind of interesting. All right, let's get into another song and then we'll talk about more stuff.
Yeah, she's even her white t-shirts are black. She's
yeah, true. Exactly.
Very menacing.
Exactly. Blue Skies Back. I love the sort of Man Who Sold the World reference in this particular song. Everybody kind of knows that. Is this a pandemic inspired song about, you know, coming out of something horrible and looking towards the light?
I mean, the bigger pandemic before the medical one was the presidential one, and this song was written then. But for me, it's most of my songs, I think, live on the literal plane, and also there's sort of a secondary meaning. And so I actually have what they call sad seasonal affect disorder, and I'm from Philly, and it's not a good place for people to live if you sort of get bummed out every time there's rain and clouds, but yet I get exhilarated and uplifted when there's sun. So in other words, anytime it's inclement weather, it's hard for me to get my mojo going, but when it's sunny, it's hard for me to get down. And so for me, you know, first of all, just like a pee into the thing that gives me joy. I still, after having moved here decades ago, I wake up and I feel like I'm on vacation every morning. It's a great, when it's sunny, and it's a great feeling, like a kid. I really feel like, oh my God, I just love living out here. So on the simplest level, that was about that. But you know, on the bigger level, it was about a wistful song about wishing for, you know, a better age, socially, more togetherness. And then the pandemic came, and it just seemed to be about that. You know, it was like all the timing kind of, you know, intersected for me on that song.
We'll get into it now. Again, you're from Philly originally. Tori's originally from New York, but you've been in Southern California long enough where we claim you as our own.
Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. Blue Skies Back. It's a live version from Palm Station and Tori Wolfe right here on the SoCal Sound.
Did you notice that the world is spinning faster than before?
There you go. That's another track off the new record, Stand Together, Fall Apart. Palm Station and Tori Wolf here in our studio at the Zev Rehearsal Room at the Soraya today. Again, we're listener-supported public media in SoCal. If you're not a subscribing member, sign up and subscribe or donate to the cause through the SoCalSound.org. There are some releases from Tori that people could stream or get their hands on. 10 Billion Years, EPs like Blue Mind. And there's a couple of songs that we play on the radio all the time still. It's your version of the Sneaker Pimp song, Six Underground.
Oh, cool.
And which is great. Some 90s nostalgia right there.
Yeah, covers can be fun.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for covers or a tribute song, mm-hmm. some people might call it, you know. So happy to share your music on the radio. Also, there's a song, Shadows Crawl, which I think you collaborated with hip-hop producer DJ Premier.
Yeah.
And you guys worked on a whole record together, from what I understand, right?
Yeah.
That's another sort of collaboration that, you know, had me surprised. How did that come about?
Well, that's actually how I know Michael Plant, is through DJ Premier team. But how did that come about? Really, it's the manager, DJ Premier's manager, his mom is also friends with my mom. And they were hanging and chatting it up about what their kids do. And, you know, sometimes it just happens like that, like very random moments of
sort
connection.
Of organically or whatever. Yeah. He's certainly an accomplished producer, you know. And do you have an affinity for hip hop yourself?
I thought I did before him. And then I realized that I had no idea, you know. And now I definitely do. And we clicked. He's also an Aries. I work with a lot of Aries.
That was the first thing you said to me. Yeah. That's why I think you wanted to collaborate for a long time.
I was like, oh, yeah, he's an Aries. Another Aries.
I need an Aries.
Yeah.
Love the Aries men collaborators.
And Hillel, you do have an interesting day job. And I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't bring this up right now. You know, you're a chazan or a cantor at a Jewish synagogue here in Southern California. And, you know, I didn't necessarily want to bring this up, but we're talking about some major players in entertainment show up for Shabbat service and stuff like that. What is Ikar all about?
It's a really progressive synagogue with a fantastic rabbi named Sharon Brous. You know, she's the one who sort of goes to president's convocations and gives opening addresses before that they speak in the religious ceremonies. But she's wonderful. And I had no real thought of doing this in my life, although my father is a rabbi, so I sort of had a strong background. But she asked me to do it, and I was sort of reluctant, but she sort of said, what if we could do something where we would both actually feel like attending? And I thought, well, that's an opportunity to be creative, and maybe I could do something spiritual and put my creativity into that. And I did, and I surprised myself more than anybody else with how much I liked it. And it really did spark so much creativity, both for that in specific, because I compose a lot of the music that we do and get to do it, you know, weekly in front of hundreds of people and sometimes thousands on holidays, and really see how it hits people viscerally if it does and doesn't work. But circling back to the pop music, you know, being able to do something and hit people not just on a hooks level or rhythmic level, but try to really grab their heart, which is what you have to do in prayer. You have to be able to sort of transcend with that kind of music. It was a great thing for me to bring back into the pop music, or at least attempt to do that. And I feel like I've been, you know, on top of my pop game much more after and during, you know, the period of doing the spiritual music, trying to have something, like you said, if you felt like Alive was sort of anthemic, it's because in my mind, when I'm writing, I'm picturing all those people, and I know if something works, if they close their eyes. And with that song, it was an amazing thing where I wrote it, and I figured it was the first time I'd done an English song. I said, I'm going to try this out and see what happens. And midway through the second chorus, everyone stood up and started singing it, you know, just chanting. They'd never heard it before. So that was when I sort of know, like, there was some powerful effect it had. And since then, it's kind of become the anthem at the temple, even though it's English. And we'd never done that before, so it's an interesting thing. But yeah, there are a lot of artist types and entertainment types, you know, big wigs who show up there. But curiously, it's like, it's the anti-showbiz place. It's very down to earth. People are dressed like you are now, you know, sackcloth, ashes, and flip-flops. And but people love it because it's down to earth, and it's just something that really draws people together in service of community and social activism And most people, a lot of people that aren't in it for the religious thing, but they sort of are able to glean the messages that are universal to all religions that are, you know, about togetherness and justice. So I love it.
There was a sort of, I got goosebumps just hearing you talk about that, frankly. There was a magical moment which happened recently. I guess you covered the song Mad World for the congregation, and then Kurt Smith of Tears for Fears caught wind of that, perhaps, and then came up on stage maybe the following week or something and performed it with you?
Yeah, it was kind of nuts. I mean, the High Holidays are the, you know, the, as you know, the sort of most intense spiritual period of the calendar year, and on the pinnacle night of that, called Kol Nidre, I wanted to do Mad World. It just seemed like zeitgeist, the right thing to sing in this time.
That's a heavy song, man.
Yeah, it's heavy. I've always, they've always been my, you know, absolute favorite band other than the Beatles, really. I adore them. And, you know, I wanted to do that, and people weren't too sure if it was too much of a downer, but I sort of felt like that's where the world is, you know, let's not sugarcoat things. So I sang it and, you know, fast all day and, you know, went to bed and, you know, woke up to get a drink of water or something at like 11 p.m. There was a little beep on my phone, and my friend says, "Dude, did you see the tweet from Kurt Smith?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "He saw you do Mad World," and he so I look on Twitter, and it said like, "Amazing, beautiful job. I've never, one of my favorite covers ever of this." And I was like, "Holy heck!" And I ran down and, you know, I forget, maybe I got more water and came back up. Anyway, about half an hour later, another ping, and it's like my email, and it's Kurt Smith. He's like, "I hope you don't mind. I tracked down your email. And that was really beautiful. Just wanted to thank you for doing that." So we started chit-chatting, and like usual, you know, comedy and humor is my thing. And I was laying, you know, a little bit of that into it. And he said, "I, you know, I'd love to do it with you one time if you don't mind a Gentile doing it." And I said something like, "You could be billed as a Gentile giant if you want to and do it with us." So he liked that. And anyway, you know, he came over and we jammed a little bit, and you know, we did Mad World. And, you know, then I said, "Well, we have this other song, Alive, that sort of might be nice to do also." It's also sort of a period of all this crazy racism and anti-Semitism. And to us, it's sort of a symbol of resilience. And so he sort of felt really good. He sort of came out right after the Kanye episode and just gave a big middle finger to Kanye and sort of stood up for his friends in the Jewish community. So he did Alive and then another song by a band called Elbow. And the people who were here today, we all practiced it and we did three songs. And he was just the sweetest guy, like the most in the whole room. He was like the smallest ego. Mine, of course, is monstrous, but I mean, with the other,
of course,
humble
we've experienced how you could be a diva. That's for sure. Palms Station and Tori Wolf here on 88.5 The SoCal Sounds. You know, that's really it. We do want to rip into a couple more live songs, a version of "I Don't Know the Way to Your Heart," which has been played on the SoCal Sound a little bit. Hopefully, our listeners are familiar with that song, and we'll get right into "Lay Down Your Arms," which I think the subject matter on that tune is pretty self-explanatory. Hillel, amazing to meet you. Tori, I can't believe we're still doing this after all these years, you know?
Totally.
I think I have more Tori stories, but we'll save that for next time.
Private.
Yeah.
Private mixture. Yeah.
Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you. We love this station.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Shadows play on the streets in the night. No star fades. There is no guiding light. I don't know what's the way. Lights fade. apart. I don't know what's the way, what's the way,
what's the way apart.
I don't know what's the way, what's the way,
what's the way apart.
I don't know what's the way, what's the way,
what's the way apart.
I don't know what's the way, I don't know, 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 what's the way now, what's the way, what's the way, what's the way,
what's the way now,
what's the way, what's the way,
what's the way,
I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, what's the way to Well, all is fair in love and war, but you're not fighting fair no more. Live by the fist, die by the sword. Fuck with the bull, you get the horn. Oh, now, here we go. Mad situation, loss of control. You wanna make big noise with all the big boys. Lay down your arms, lay down your arms.
The SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Session hosted by Mark Mookie Kazor. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce. Edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.